Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word.
Well, we are live. How you doing today? Are you doing good? I hope that things are going good for you today. This is Jeremiah Smith. Praise the Lord, and I'm so glad I get to be with you today. Have you had a good week? Are things going good for you? Well, I'm here in the middle of the week here, and we're going to spend some time together in God's Word, and I hope that you're pumped up and ready to go. Are you ready to go today? Well, I hope so. I hope that you're ready to go. Have things been working out for you this week? Have you seen God's favor move for you? Have you seen him move in a special way in your life? I believe he's doing supernatural things, providing for people and being a blessing to them. You know, it's been prophesied this year that his open hand is going to do supernatural things for people this year. If they'll just hold on to him, he'll bring you through all your challenges and help you come through it. Well, you know, I believe he's doing that for you today, and I believe he already knows what you're facing. He knows what challenges you've been going through, and he already has prearranged and made provision for it. He's a good father, and I believe that he's taking care of us today. Do you believe that? I believe it, and I'm excited about it. He's a good father. Well, you know, you can catch us live every Wednesday and every Sunday, right? You say he's saying it again. Yeah, every Wednesday and Sunday, you can catch us at 6 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, on Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. That was Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time and Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. And you can catch us live on Podbean. Of course, on YouTube, you can catch us live on there. If you're on YouTube, how you doing out there? Seeing the streaming video, and you know, we're just glad to be with you today. It's a blessing of God to get to be together, you know, and just think about it. If we weren't here, we'd be up there in heaven. Amen. Just fellowshipping and having a good time. You know, I believe we're getting closer to being up there and being around God's throne. And I believe he wants to do some wonderful things here, and still he's got purposes for people. And I believe he's got a special move he's trying to have come into the earth. And before he's great catching away of the church. And I believe he's trying to have a great Holy Spirit outpouring in your life today and to touch people all around you. And I believe the Holy Spirit's reaching out to touch everybody as much as he possibly can right now and trying to bring them into the kingdom. And I believe we're going to see more and more of his glory on a daily basis, going from glory to glory. Do you believe that? I believe it. And of course, you can catch us on the replay on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbeams, our home there. Tune in off Alexia, iHeart Radio, Stitcher, Deezer, Pandora, Amazon Music, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, Samsung. Hopefully you got one of those. And of course, YouTube. And of course, you know, we are here live at 6 p.m. If you're here, you know that. And I'm so glad I get to be with you. Also, I was trying to remember and to remind you that, let's see here if I've got that, and I can pull it up real quick here. I'm going as fast as I can there. Okay. Yeah, there's a new episode on Anchor for that podcast, and that's a family member. That's my brother in Christ, Michael Studeman there. You can catch The Truth with Studi on Anchor there. It comes out every Tuesday, and you might look that up on Anchor FM. It's called The Truth with Studi, but it's a really great podcast. He loves the Word, and he'll get it in your veins and get you pumped up. He just lets the Holy Spirit have his way, and I just wanted to let you know about that great podcast. You can check that out if you'd like to, and that's, like I said, he's a family member, and he always has a good podcast, so you want to check that out. He's on his second one just started, and I mean, it's good. And so I would catch that if you can there. I believe it'll be a blessing to your life. And of course, if you want, you can give here if you'd like. You can give at the Patreon. Go to Jeremiah Smith Ministries at Patreon if you'd like to give. No pressure here, right? Never pressure you. You know, you can download everything for free and give it to somebody, be a blessing to them. If you'd like to give, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured back to you again. But, you know, God always gives way more than what you need. And, you know, if you're giving, you know, that's how God's going to provide for your life. You want to make sure you're giving. We like to try to make sure that there's something in every bucket that comes around to us. Me and my wife, we like to make sure we're sowing as much as we can. So it's important that you sow on a regular basis. You know, if you want a good crop, you want God to produce in your life, you want to sow on a regular basis. You know, we're talking about vision here on Wednesday nights, you know, and you, if you have a vision, you want to be sowing, you know, sowing into somebody else's vision to reap your vision. So it's important to be sure and sow, and, you know, and I believe God will provide for your vision, but you want to sow into someone else's vision what you got. You know, sometimes it may not be money. Maybe you can just pray for them, you know, pray for another person's vision, sowing something into somebody else's vision to reap yours. And so you want to keep that in mind. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, notice he didn't just say one thing, you know, and I understand Galatians is talking about, you know, the flesh and talking about the spirit, but he says, whatever you sow, let me get a drink here. He says, whatever you sow. So if you're sowing tomatoes, you get tomatoes, right? If you sow onions, grapes, bananas, you know, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap, right? And so you want to make sure that you're sowing the right things. You know, we'd sow green beans out in my grandfather's backyard. We sowed all kinds of stuff, you know, and I know about farming. My grandfather used to farm. And, you know, it's important that you're sowing what you want to reap in your life, you know, and if it's finances, sowing finances, you know, love, sowing love. That's God's law, is sowing and reaping. That's what it says here, Galatians 6:7, whatsoever a man sows, that means us, right? And so you want to make sure you're sowing the things you need to reap so you can reap your vision for your life. You know, God didn't leave you without resources to sow. He didn't leave you without a way to reap the things you need for your vision. You know, he didn't leave you without an avenue to make that work. So it's important that we're sowing on a regular basis. I'm reminded of that story, you know, that Jerry Seville used to talk about with Kenneth Copeland. And he would talk about, you know, one day when I get $1,000, I'm going to sow it into your ministry, you know. He said, but right now, and he wrote him a letter, he said, I don't have that. So I'm going to pray for your ministry. I'm going to make sure and set a time. You know, I believe he said every day he's going to pray for that ministry, you know, because he believed in it, you know. And so he set a time to pray for him, and that was the seed that he sowed. He prayed for that ministry on a regular basis, you know. And, you know, that may be all you have today, you know, but you have something that you can sow, you know, and God will bless you back in good measure, pressed down. Then maybe one day you'll have it in your hand. You know, he was able one day to sow $1,000, you know. And you think about, you know, he started, though, by praying, you know, set aside some time to pray for that ministry, you know. So make sure that you're doing something so that you're reaping the things that you need to have in your life. That's the way God works, is sowing and reaping. And, you know, we learn a lot by sowing and reaping. It teaches you about your faith, teaches you how to grow. I'm so glad that is his system, because it teaches us how to do things. He said, if you want something to happen for yourself, you got to do it for them, right? Remember, you know, he talked about, you know, treat somebody like you want to be treated, right? And why would we do that? Because we're sowing and reaping. You know, if we want to be treated good, we want to treat others really good on a regular basis, putting that seed out there every day, you know. But if you want others to treat you in the way you don't want to be treated, then, you know, you're going to reap those benefits. You know, unfortunately, you know, even the world knows that. They call that, reciprocation, you know. I'm trying to remember what the word they use for that. But it's out of the Bible. It's sowing and reaping. That's God's way of doing things. It's a spiritual law. And so you want to make sure that you're sowing in the right areas. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking about vision in our Bible study tonight. You got your Bible? I got mine here. You got your tablet? You got your phone? Got what you need to study God's word? Do you believe he's going to speak to you today? I believe he will, you know, but you got to be ready. You got to be expecting. And he's going to do some wonderful things in your life if you'll let the Holy Spirit do that for you today, right? We have to come expecting. You know, if you're just coming to church to sit there and have a ritual, you know, you're not going to get something that you need from the Holy Spirit. We come to expect from the Holy Spirit. It's not what I can do. It's what the Word can do by the Holy Spirit today for you. And so we have to put our expectors out there, you know. We should be expecting from our ministers, you know, expecting God to move, you know. It makes it a little easier for them to minister when you're expecting him to move, you know. Amen. When they're expecting, it sets an atmosphere, right? Where God can do what he wants to do in the service. So it's good that we put our expectation out there for the Holy Spirit to move. And he likes to move. It electrifies the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move. And so it's important that whatever ministry you're spending time with, pray for them right then before they even start. Say, Father, I ask that you anoint them, Father. I ask that you help the Holy Spirit to make it easy for them to get the word out. Make it easy for them, you know. And you're going to get a lot better ministry, through that person if you'll do that. Praise the Lord. I'm a little dry throated. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get a couple drinks of water here, but we'll keep on going and we'll make sure that it works out. Amen. Amen. So let's pray today. And you got your phone, got your Bible, you ready to go? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. You're here. You're the reason why we're here today. And Father, we depend on you today. We depend on you to move today. Oh, we just thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit's going to have his way today. We just ask, Holy Spirit, you come move in the way that you want to move. Minister to each person that's listening. Father, I ask that you help no one to leave without getting what they need today by your Holy Spirit, Father. Oh, I'm so but a hippity hippa, so but a hempity hippity heap, zo but a hippity hippa, so but a hoop but a hippity heap, zebity hippa, hoop but a hempity hippa, so but a hippity hippity heap, zebity hippity hoop but a hempity hippity hippity heap, zo but a hoop but a hoop but a hempity hippa, hoop but a hoop but a hoop, abba habba hippa hippa he. Oh, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for burdens being removed, yokes being destroyed today by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit today. Oh, Father, we thank you for your interpretations, Father. We thank you, Father, that you're just going to move in a special way today. We're going to see the glory of God, I believe, today, touching some people's lives. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And Father, as we minister, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit flood us with light. Help us to see some stuff we've never seen before today. And Father, we come expecting you to move, Father. And before we go, we minister to you. Amen. We come to minister to you today, Father. And Father, we just ask that you, Father, we just thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for taking care of our families, being so faithful to us. We thank you, Father, Lord, that your joy is with us. The joy of the Lord is our strength today, Father. I thank you, Father, the enemy has tried to take some people's joy, but you didn't let them, they're not going to take it. We thank you, you're filling them up right now, Father, with even more joy. And Father, we in your presence, and in your presence is fullness of joy. You're filling them back up, Father, to overflow with your presence right now. Father, we ask you to touch that one right there who's lost his joy. Fill him back up with your joy right now. That's his strength, Father, and her strength. Fill him back up with your joy right now. Help him, even right now, help him to laugh. Swell up within him some laughter and joy. Help him to get their joy back, Father. Father, we just thank you that you are the joy of the Lord, Father. In your presence is in that is the fullness of joy. And we just thank you, Father. Shalom, but a heap, and so, but a hem, but a heap, but a heap, zo, but a hem, but a heap, but a hoo, but a hem, but a heap, but a heap. We just thank you, shalom, but a heap, but a heap, but a hoo, but a hem, but a heap, zo, but a hoo, but a heap, 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 zee, but a heap, but a hoo, but a hoo, but a hoo, but a hoo. You're restoring some joy back to some people today. Zom, but a hem, but a heap, but a zo, but a hem, but a heap. What is that, Father? Zo, but a heap, but a heap, zee, but a heap, but a hoo, but a hoo, but a hoo, but a hem, but a heap. He's been battling you. The enemy's been battling you, but his joy, you're about to see joy come in the morning. You, if you'll stick with him, he's bringing joy through your circumstances. You that'll stick with him. I believe he's saying that some of you have been challenged. The enemy shot his best shot at you, but the joy of the Lord is coming to you in the morning. And there's going to be newness of joy in the morning, and he's going to do some special things for you if you'll just hold on to him. You know, you've been challenged. The enemy has tried to challenge you, but the joy of the Lord is right before you if you just hold on and let him bring you through the circumstances. Amen. He's going to restore you. He's going to make it better, and God always makes it better, praise the Lord, if you'll just stick with him. He's a good father, and he's trying to help some of you today, praise the Lord. So just stick with it and keep going forward. You know, maybe not. You may not even know how to do it. You may not know what you need to do, you know, but that's okay. You've got the Holy Spirit. He knows it all. I like what my pastor used to say. I don't know it all, but I know the one who knows it all. Amen. And you have the one who knows it all on the inside of you, you know, and you need to remember that, you know, and spend some time praying with him and getting his direction. But he knows it all. He's been guiding people through this world for centuries. And he knows exactly how to guide you more than a million ways and make things work for you. You just need to listen to the Holy Spirit today. Let him guide you and direct you, you know. You know, so sometimes when you're driving a car, you know, you have to make sure that you're going certain directions. You don't want to get off the wrong direction, you know, and you want to make sure that you're going the right direction. Let the Holy Spirit keep you on the right direction. Let him be your navigation system. Let him guide you and direct you. Don't you try to take the wheel all the time. Let him be the navigator and let him guide you by his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get into our message. Are you ready today? Let's go ahead and go over to Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. And let's look here. Proverbs 29:18. He says, where there is no vision, right? Listening to the Spirit. Listen to where to go. Whether we're seeing beyond your circumstances. Where there is no vision, the people perish, right? If you're not listening to the Spirit and you're not seeing where you need to go, it's easy to perish. Right? It's very easy to perish, you know. I remember I had a car one time, you know, the headlight was out, you know, and didn't see the road too well. And so I got to get that headlight back in, you know, and I remember at work and some of these guys were getting out there, helping me get that headlight back in there. You know, I was working in early in the morning, it was dark and I had to get that headlight back in there, you know, and I remember we were sticking our hands down in there trying to get to, it was a real tight fit, you know. And we got that headlight back in there, you know, and I was able to see real clearly after I had both headlights on there, you know. And, you know, with you and your circumstances, you're going to see a whole lot more clearly if you listen to the Spirit, right? The Spirit, he's going to give you the vision. He's going to show you what you need to do. But it's important that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, right? Submitting to the Holy Spirit. Let him get the things done he wants to get done. What's the mission he's given you? What's he called you to do today? You know, that's your vision and that's your dream. And it's important we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, have no hope, don't have nothing to get excited about in the morning. You got to have some vision, right? Something to get you up in the morning, get you thrilled about life, you know. My wife was talking to me recently about a friend of ours, you know, and I was talking about how they were needing some they were having challenges and they were taking it out on some family members and things like that, you know, and no one, I believe you would even know who they were, but and I'm not going to mention their names, but you know, he just didn't have direction for his life, had hurt and things going on in his life, you know, and you think about that with, you know, hurt can cause you not to dream like you should. Hurt can cause you not to see your circumstances like you should, right? You've been hurt in life, or maybe you were following God and something went wrong and you stopped following God like you should, you know. Hurt can cause those things, you know. I remember taking the youth pastor position me and my wife took, you know, we had some challenges with that, you know. And some things didn't go our direction the way we wanted them to go. You know, we had it and we're excited about ministry, pumped up, can't wait to get in ministry. And they get in there, we get in there and they tell us we can't do this and we can't do that, you know, and a lot of hurt. You know, and people can hurt you. The enemy likes to use people to hurt you. It's not the people, but he likes to use people to hurt you if you're not careful. He likes to work with whoever listened to him. And he likes to use people to hurt you, maybe even some of your close loved ones around you, you know, if they'll listen to him. You have to be careful. You don't want to listen to the enemy, you know, and it's not the people. Right? It's the enemy using people. And you need to be careful about that affecting your vision and what God's called you to do. You need to be able to see beyond your circumstances, right? He says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So he's trying to get you off track. He's trying to get you to perish, right? He knows if you don't have no vision, you're not, you know, he says, a person not, you know, not going anywhere, any road will take them there, right? And so it's important. He's trying to get you off the road, get you off from where you're going, because he knows that you're going to perish. You're not going to be thrilled about life anymore. You might even, some people, you know, when they don't have no vision, they'll drink themselves to death, do drugs and kill themselves to death, because they have nothing to get up in the morning to get thrilled about. Of course, living with God and our relationship with God's number one. But that comes a lot through vision. He talks to you about your vision and he wants to have a project with you, you know? And so it's important that we're walking and talking with him and having a project that we're working on with him, right? But he that keepeth the law, what does it say? Happy is he? Well, a person that has vision, something they're excited about, something they're thrilled about with their life, they're a happy person. You know, and you're going to bother people around you when you're a happy person, right? That's why, you know, people get upset around you when you have vision. They don't may not have vision. You know, they may not be thrilled about life, you know, not seeing beyond their circumstances. They've been took on the farm that their family member had, or took on the business that their family member had, you know, and they're just getting through life, trying to get through life. But don't see the possibilities. Don't see the hope that's out there for them that God's called them to do. He didn't create you just to, you know, take up space. He didn't create you just to be breathing air. No, you're something special, and you were put for a reason. And it's important that you're focused on that reason, not just on your circumstances. But, you know, of course, we need to be focused on working when we need to work, you know, of course. But you can get this going on the side and get it to where it's working for you. You have to focus on vision to have a thrill about life and be excited about life. Proverbs 29:18 says it like this: where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Right? What's that mean, the cast off restraint? Well, that's a person, you know, that if they don't have something that they're looking at and seeing beyond their circumstances, and they're influxed with all the things around them, and all they think about is what's going on in their personal life. They don't have no hope. They don't have something that they can have hope about. You know, that person loses restraint. They don't care what they watch on TV. They don't care about what they put in their system. They don't care about their weight. They don't care about anything, because they have nothing they're striving for, nothing they're shooting for. It's amazing. You know, my wife used to help people get jobs and things like that. And, you know, when you're getting a job, it's good that you have a good resume. It's good that you have a good plan where you want to go. You know, it'll make sure you look good when you get to the interview, you know, and make sure that you're looking your best, you know, because you want a good presentation to get that job, you know. So you'll do things. You'll have restraint because that's something that you're hoping for. And, you know, vision's a lot the same way. It causes restraint. It causes you to do the things that you need to do so that you'll reach for your dream. Think about that today. Well, man, all of a sudden you say, well, man, I got to take care of myself if I want to fulfill this big dream God's given me, right? You know, think about it. You know, you'll do a little bit more. Maybe you need to go to school. Well, you don't mind going to school because God's given you a big dream, right? Something you have hope about. Something makes you want to put your pants on in the morning. Amen. Right. And so the dreams are like that, and it causes restraint in your life. And it says, but happy is he that keepeth the law. That's a happy person. I like the Passion Translation. I think it's great. Proverbs 29:18 says, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. This is why people, you know, don't want to be Christians if they're not careful. If you talk to them and you get them in by fear and scare them, you know, the Bible says that the goodness of the Lord is what brings people to repentance. You get them in, tell them how good God is, and they get to see how good he is when he gives you a vision and a dream and hope in your life. You know, they're not going to wander astray, but people quickly wander astray if you get them in, scare them into the church, and they don't have nothing to look forward to. They're just going there for, you know, in fear, right? Well, you talk about how good our Father is and how good he is to you, and how he wants to help you get to the dream and the vision that he has for your life. That's going to get contagious, and people are going to want to be a part of that, right? You know, they're going to be like, hey, I want to know this God that you know. He's different than all these other lowercase fake gods out there. He actually cares about me, and he wants a relationship with me, and he's got a big purpose for my life. I'm not just someone wandered around this planet. No, he breathed me into this planet for a reason, and he's got hope for me, right? People in this world right now need hope, right? And God's the only one that's going to give you hope. Isn't that right? He's the only one that brings hope into a person's soul and into their spirit, and that's what he wants to do for you today, right? But when you follow the revelation of the word, this is a Passion Translation, the rest of it, heaven's bliss fills your soul. I love that. Isn't that good? You say, well, you read these scriptures every time you're doing vision. Well, they're very good scriptures, right? Good translations. Heaven's bliss fills your soul when you have something you're excited to get up in the morning for, you know. If you get up and you're just going to do the routine every day, but you can't see beyond that, yeah, you're going to be a person that's down. You won't want to do confessions. You won't want to live a life that you should be living. You know, heaven, that's what God put in you for a reason. He put a vision in you for a reason, so heaven's bliss would fill your soul. And so you need that vision, that dream that God wants you to have in your life. So today we're talking about vision. And what are you seeing today? What do you see today when you know, when you go to bed? Or do you see negative things even when you close your eyes and go to sleep? Or do you think about possibilities that God has for your life, right? What do you think about when you lay down at night? Have you, taken in so much and you didn't pray before you went to bed, and all you're thinking about is all the negative things? Or are you still thinking about the possibilities of life, you know? You know, God said, or Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believe. There's lots of possibilities for you. Lots of things you can be doing. You know, you say, well, Jeremiah, you have no idea my situation. Oh, you don't know my situation. And I still think there's possibilities, right? You don't know the challenges I face. You say, well, you haven't seen my challenges. You don't know what I face, right? And I still see possibilities by his Spirit. I still see possibilities and hope by his Spirit, because he's got great things for you. And he's got great things for me. Amen. Goa said it like this. He says, things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. You know, God's business should be the most important thing to you in your life, right? You know, you should care about God, your relationship with him, but his affairs should be the most important things to you in your life, you know? What is it he's talking to you about? What are the affairs that he's talking to you about in your personal time with him, right? What has he asked you to do? What is he talking to you about doing? That's your vision. That's your dream that God's put on the inside of you. Stephen Covey said it like this: anything less than a conscious commitment to the important is an unconscious commitment to the unimportant. Think about that today. Are you consciously committing to it, you know? Are you spending time doing it? You know, you're just starting with something today, whatever it is, you know? You know, my wife's real big about that. You know, start with what you got today. Start something. Make sure you did something today. What is it that you did today? Reaching out for what you're wanting to accomplish tomorrow. You know, it didn't take a whole lot to start your vision. It doesn't take a whole lot. You know, say you're going to start a church today. You know, what have you secured, you know, the nonprofit, or if you set up your incorporation, you know, you can do things and just do things at night to get it going, right? And a business, have you set up, you know, have you figured out the location? What do you feel peace about on the inside of you? You can start little things, write it out. Number one, that's the biggest thing. And we're going to talk about how to write out a good vision, but you know, taking some little steps, what can you do today? Just one thing before you go to bed, you know, maybe even make a picture of it, you know, print out a picture, draw it. If you can't print it, put it up on your wall and look at the possibilities that God can do in your life, right? See it within your spirit, right? Pin it up on the board, some pictures of it. But, you know, screenshot it on your phone and put it in the background where you want to go. Amen. Look at it. Get it on the inside of you, right? That's why God gave you an imagination, so you can see it on the inside of you, the blueprint that God wants you to accomplish with your life. Amen. Miles Monroe says it like this: the poorest person in the world is a person without a dream. Think about that today. You know, a person without hope, without seeing beyond their circumstances. Miles Monroe, his statement here is saying, the poorest person in the world is a person without a dream. You know, and you are. You think about that. You know, you don't have no thrill to get up in the morning if you don't have a vision or a dream with your life. You don't have something you're excited about that you want to do if you don't have a vision or a dream to get up for in the morning, praise the Lord. Something you have an adventure in faith with God. You know, God loves faith. And he likes you to have an adventure with him, you know. He wants you to get out from where you are, and he wants you to have an adventure with him. See, I'm scared, Jeremiah. Never heard a message like this. I'm scared, you know. Well, you're going to have to get out of being scared. You're going to spend some time with God and get some boldness and step out, you know. I remember, you know, I used to play in a Christian band and stuff like that, and I'll never forget, I got me a little guitar slap Jesus sticker on the front of it, you know, And we'd play at the coffee house, you know, and I was used to playing with the lights going down. I used to play in like different bands, and the lights would be out and the lights would be on me, you know. And then, but when I was in a coffee house, all the lights were up. It was real bright, you know, and I could see everybody's face. And we had a full coffee house one time. I'll never forget when we were doing it. Well, I don't know how many times it was full. It was quite a few people that went there, but I'll never forget the first night when it was really full. You know, people right up in the front of me, you know, right up close, you know, it was packed. And I had these people looking right at me, you know, and I could say, well, I'm not going to do any music today. I'm a little embarrassed, you know, but no, I had a vision. I had a dream. And so I just started my music, closed my eyes, and just kept going forward. And some of you just need to keep going forward. You need to keep going straight ahead. You know, whatever vision he's given you, do it afraid, man. Just get out there. You're not going to be perfect the first time, you know. You're not going to do everything perfect the first few times, but you're going to start developing this thing, and he's going to start making it better for you, and he's going to train you, and the Holy Spirit will train you, and he'll put people around you to help it be better, you know. But you got to do something. You got to get the ball rolling, amen. And it's important. I remember a minister talking about, you know, it's important that you keep going forward and you keep it rolling. You know, he had a bicycle in his church. He was talking about vision, matter of fact. And he had this 10-speed, and he got on the 10-speed, took off on it, you know. And he was talking about all the functions of the 10-speed and how it compared to vision, you know. And he's riding the 10-speed around his sanctuary in the church. And he was talking about how when you slow down the 10-speed, it can fall over when you stop, right? But when you keep on going, you can move and do some different directions. You can keep going. You can get, you know, you can steer where you need to go, you know. But when you're sitting still, it's easy to fall over, you know. And it's important with vision, you keep going forward. You know, God can guide you and direct you as you're going forward. You look at Paul's life when he was ministering, you know, he would go to a certain place and sometimes the Holy Spirit would say, don't go there. And then the Holy Spirit lead him in a different direction and he'd get to another place, you know, and then he might get to another place after that. And the Holy Spirit say, don't go there, you know, but he was always going forward. God's all about going forward. He doesn't look backward. He's always about going forward. And so it's important that we're listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided and directed by him and going forward. Miles Monroe said it like this, another good Miles Monroe statement. He talked a lot about vision. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. You know, you may not be the majority that has a vision around you. You know, I remember this gentleman talking about, or this lady was talking about how she lost weight. I don't know if it was the gentleman or the weight, but I remember it was a lady that lost weight. And she had two friends that needed to lose weight, you know, and she lost weight. She's looking good, you know, and they kind of turned on her because, you know, they were jealous of her, you know, losing weight. You know, when you have vision, people sometimes may turn against you because they don't have vision, you know, but you can't let that bother you, you know, but of course it's going to convict them. It will make them look at themselves why they don't have vision. And you may be the minority in the situation, but you need to be a person that sees your future and has hope. You don't want to live that life where people are getting up every morning, they're dead face, going to work, you know, and hate what they're doing, right? You want to be a person with vision that's excited about their day, excited about their possibilities. And, you know, and like he said, the eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. You may be the only one in your circumstance that's feeding on this, and you're seeing beyond your circumstances, seeing good things for your life. But that's what you got to do if you want a better life that God has for you. You know, you talk about the people that God had going into the promised land and how there was a few spies and that saw different than other spies, you know, but it wasn't the complete amount of people there that saw like Joshua and Caleb saw. Think about that today, you know, they were the minority. Right? And the circumstances, I'm trying to think of how many people it was, but you know, there was only Joshua and Caleb, right? But they saw the possibilities, you know. Do you see the possibilities? Other ones, they said, oh man, they're so big and I don't know how we can accomplish this. And that's how most people in the world talk today. They're like, this is so big. I can't accomplish this. There's no way. But the Holy Spirit in you, the dynamic duo, you and the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish big things. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit in your life, amen, you can do big things. God ain't little, right? God creates planets and stars and solar systems, you know, and your circumstance that you're challenged with right now, it's easy for him to fix it, but give him a reason to fix it. See beyond your circumstances and go with God, amen. What was it Gloria Copeland said? She said, anything that her and Kenneth were ever called to do, it took them faith to do it. You know, and you think about your circumstance, it's going to take you and some faith, and you're going to fulfill what God has for your life. Proverbs 29:13 says it like this, a poor person and his oppressor or a creditor have this in common. The Lord gave eyes to both of them. Powerful to think about it. Poor person and his oppressor, some people say the rich person, have this in common. The Lord gave eyes to both of them. So these two people were, and they're because of how they see themselves, you know, they either became rich or they became poor. How do you see yourself today? You may have to work on your self-image a little bit. Do you see yourself as someone valuable, or do you see yourself as someone that's not very valuable? You know, if you're married and you have somebody that's sitting there making you feel like you're not valued, or you have family members that make you feel not valued, you may have to renew your mind and think about the value God has for you in your life. You know, he sees you as someone special. He sees you as someone very, very special. He gave Jesus for you. All the money, all the gold in the world and silver in the world would not pay for you. All the oil and all the money would not pay for you, but only Jesus' blood would pay for you because you're precious to God. Amen. Think about that today. You're precious to him, and he wants to see you fulfill what he put you on this planet to do. Amen. Amen. Do you see yourself accomplishing what God has given you to accomplish? Are you seeing what God can do for you? Well, you got to see yourself that way. Amen. So let's look at our definition for vision. Well, vision is your prophetic future, and it's seeing with your spirit what God sees about your future, right? That's the definition I like to give for vision. It's your prophetic future, and it's seeing with your spirit what God sees about your future. Isn't that good? Amen. And he sees big things for you, right? I like that thing that was on Oral Roberts' desk. He used to have a plaque on there. It says, "No small planning here," right? And God doesn't have any small planning for you. He doesn't think small, you know. You don't even go to his desk with something small, right? God thinks big for you. He thinks that you can do anything. You know, when you're the creator of the universe and you can make anything, he believes he can do anything with you. Think about that today. He doesn't make small plans. He wants to do big things for you. You don't even realize how many people you can affect, right? You remember my Ryan Hart Bonnke and how the Lord used him to minister to all these people? Think about that. One man ministered to all these people. Think that's a huge. Oral Roberts. Think about all the people that he had an impact on their lives. Just one man, you know. It'll blow your mind when you think about how much he can use you for something. He's got certain people he wants you to reach through your business, song, book, ministry. But you have to see yourself doing something for God. Amen. Let's look over 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." You ever been in a circumstance like that? You're surrounded. You've got challenges on every side. Have you ever felt like this servant? "Oh, Lord, what shall we do?" I've been there. I don't know about you. I've been there a lot, unfortunately. But I love his attitude here. And this is the New International Version. He says, "Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do?" You know, and I'm laughing, but some of you are going through that exact circumstance right now. You're like, "Oh no, Lord, what shall we do?" You know, and he said he would never put on you more than you can bear. So he knows you can come out of this. He knows you can make it through the circumstance. You know, God checked it before it ever got to you. And he said, he can handle this. He can come through this, but you've got to be a person that sees it the right way. The 16th verse says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those are with us are more than those who are with them." Wow, think about that. He said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." It's a whole different way of seeing things, right? You see yourself surrounded with big circumstances. The prophet says, we have a whole lot more going to come through this situation than what you're seeing, right? And God sees it that way. He's like, "Hey, this is no problem for me to fix." But we see it as we're surrounded. There's no possible way we're going to come out of this circumstance. But the prophet answered, he said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You know, in your circumstance that you're dealing with today, God's like, "Hey, this is no problem. You can come out of it. We can get you through it. It's not a problem." But, you know, you have to see it like God sees it. Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Wow, think about that, you know. There was a whole different thing going on. You know, in the spirit, there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening that people don't see, right? Powerful to think about. And there's all kinds of things happening. You know, there's angels moving in different directions, and, you know, the Holy Spirit's moving, and, you know, the enemy's moving, you know, but God, you know, he's a whole lot bigger and has a whole lot more angels than the enemy. The enemy has one third of the angels of what God has. And he can make a circumstance work for you. And you have the greater one on the inside of you. You can come through every circumstance if you'll see it like God sees it. Amen. Notice Elijah's servant had one perspective and Elijah had another perspective. Are you like the servant today? Or are you like Elisha today? Seeing all the possibilities, right? How do you see your circumstances? Do you see the possibilities? Or do you just see like the servant, oh, Lord? I'm sorry, I get to laughing when I think about it. That's just the joy of the Lord here today. But, you know, I've felt that pain. Oh, Lord, you know, I've been through that, you know. But God has a better way of seeing things. And he's trying to get you over to see it with faith. Get to see it with his vision and see that your circumstance, he can bring you through with no problem. Amen. It's a perspective. It's seeing with your heart. That may mean you have to spend some time in his presence so you can see things bigger in your heart, seeing the possibilities in your heart. And you know, you've got to be full of joy to see his presence, you know, or see the possibilities. That's your strength. You've got to be full of joy to have a good perspective about life, right? You know, I mean, these people that are all down and sad and got a frown on their face every day when they get up, they know they're not full of joy. And we're supposed to have joy on a day. We're Christians, and we're supposed to have the joy of the Lord on a daily basis, living in his joy, doing the backstroke in his joy every day, right? Well, as the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he makes a table in the presence of our enemies. And some of you need to sit at the table and drink his joy for a little bit, you know. Get to laughing at the enemy and laughing at the circumstances, laughing at all these challenges, because the truth is God will make your way out. He'll fix the situation. He'll cause you to come out. He can do it more than a million. It's easy for him to fix your circumstances, but it has to do with how you see your circumstances. How you seeing it today? How do you look at it today? You know, be real with yourself. How do you see it today? Well, you know, it's easy to change it. It's easy to get your perspective changed. You've got to get in his word and you've got to focus. That's why God told Joshua, he said, meditate day and night. He wanted him to get the right perspective about the situation. He wanted him to have a right thinking about the situation. You know, we got to think like he thinks. And God doesn't believe he's going to lose. He doesn't believe he's ever going to lose, right? And he doesn't believe you're going to lose. And he sees you as a winner, and you need to see yourself coming through and having the right perspective in every circumstance. Do you believe that? I believe that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Believe I'm spitting on the mic. I'm preaching here today. Amen. Get a good perspective. Get a good outlook on life, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of negative going on out there. You can sit there and feed yourself on that till you're sad and you're depressed and you're sucking on your thumb and sitting in the closet all day, or you can get God's word and see a whole new outlook on life and have a good, fresh perspective on the possibilities that you can do with God. You and God are a dynamic duo. You and God won't fail if you trust in the Father. He wants to help you today, and he wants you to fulfill. He says, we always triumph. Did he say sometimes, part of the time? No, he says we always triumph through Christ Jesus, right? All God, all things can be done. Notice God opens his eyes, and some of us need to open our eyes today. You know, sit there not seeing. Open your eyes and see like God sees in your circumstances. Are you seeing the God that can help you with your vision today, or are you the one person that says, oh, Lord, you know? Someone's going to have to make a decision today how you see things. You're going to have to make a decision today. Am I going to get up and go, oh, Lord, Or am I gonna get up and go, there's possibilities. God can fix this. We're gonna come through this with God's help. I don't care what it looks like. I don't know what the challenge is, you know, but you and God, we can come out if you trust in the Father today. Let's look at Matthew, the sixth chapter. I don't know how many times me and my wife have been back up against the wall and we didn't see a way out, but we just trust the Father. Amen. You got to trust him, right? He knows better than you. He's not shocked. He didn't go, oh dear goodness, Michael, what's that? What's that? Did that just, what, how did that get there? No, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He saw it before it got there. And he knows how to bring you through it. He's a good father. Matthew 6:22. Let's look at that real quick. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How negative are you today? And how much are you filled with his possibilities and his hope today? Well, you know, sometimes you may just have to get with the Father, get the refilling of his joy, get the refilling of his vision and hope for your life. You know, you have to spend some time with him, you know. The best thing you can do for yourself is sit at the table of the Lord and when you're facing your enemy and drink up a good cup of joy and a good cup of his peace. You know, don't let the enemy get you to where you're losing your mind. You know, spend time in his peace. You know, the Bible talks about that his peace is not like the peace of the world, right? It's unconditional peace. It's peace beyond your understanding. This isn't some natural peace, you know, that you get from sitting there going, no. You're getting his presence and his power. You can have peace in the darkest of circumstances, and you can have joy in the darkest of circumstances if you're in his presence where his joy is. Praise the Lord. So how healthy is what you're seeing today? What are you seeing today? And how healthy is it today? Praise the Lord. You know, I remember we went and got my sunglasses for the first time, you know, both of my boys actually, but I remember recently our youngest, we went and got him glasses a few years ago. I'm trying to think how long ago it was. It may have been a few years ago, but we got him some glasses. Let's just say that, you know, you know, I'm 47. So, you know, I'm trying to put all this together at my age, you know? So anyway, we went and got him some glasses, you know, and I was like, man, you know, that's so cool when you get glasses, you know. I remember when I was younger and I got glasses and you put them on and, you know, and you see things clear for the first time, you know, because everything's been blurry for some time, you know. And he puts them on, he's like, whoa, got a big smile on his face. He's got a new perspective on life, right? And some of you need a new perspective on life. There are some things you can see clearly if you'll spend some time with God. And there are some things you can see beyond your circumstances if you'll spend time with God. You're not just stuck in a rut of life and there's no way out. No, not with God. He puts on the glasses when you get in his presence and you can see beyond your circumstances and have a more thrilling outlook on life if you'll spend some time with him. He has good things for you, you know. And you say, well, Jeremiah, you keep saying that. Well, he does. He's a good father, you know. He didn't just get you to where you're at and not have some hope and possibility. He didn't just get you saved to just sit there and do nothing. No, he got you saved because he had a hope and a future. Remember what he said to Jeremiah? He had a hope and a future for Jeremiah. And he has a hope and a future for you if you let him give you hope and a future. So he saw clearly, you know, my son, and he got these glasses like, my goodness, you know. And now he's got all kinds of different colored glasses, and he just loves the glasses, you know, and has a whole different perspective on life, you know. Of course, you can get your contacts, whatever you like to get that eye surgery, but you can have a different perspective on life when you see things clearly, right? You're not seeing things clearly if you think life is just supposed to be terrible. You're not seeing things clearly if you go to your job and you hate every minute of it and you just hate everything that you do. You're not seeing things clearly if you hate the family that you're in. When you first were excited and you got married, you were happy to get married, you know? You know, you're not seeing things clearly if you got saved and 30 years later you hate being saved. No, you're not seeing things clearly. And sometimes you need to spend some time with the Holy Spirit and get excited about him. Amen. Has past pain caused you not to see clearly? Has past failures caused you not to see clearly? Has past disappointments caused you not to see clearly? You know, we need to get a better perspective and let God get those things right with you. Sometimes you need to get healing, you know, and you need to spend time with the Holy Spirit and get that healing that you need so that you can see clearly about what God wants to do with you today. You know, some people give up on their vision. How many people make New Year's resolutions? You know, they say, I'm going to work out all year. I'm going to do this year. And then, you know, they say, I believe the statistic was after 2 weeks, most people make New Year's resolutions, they give up. Wow. You know, there's rock solid people there, right? But, you know, that's the way that you have to be careful about vision, because the enemy likes to get you to give up, right? You don't think it's the enemy that doesn't want you to have good health. You don't think it's the enemy that doesn't want you to have a good marriage. You don't think it's the enemy that wants you to just quit on everything around you. No, that's the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I came to give you life and it more abundantly. I'm going to save, you know, maybe you said you're going to save money this year or do some things different this year, but they never keep them because, you know, it's more typical they give up within the first 2 weeks, I believe is what the statistic says. Think about that today, you know. Don't be a person that gives up. What are you going to do about that? You know, if you're a person that gives up all the time, what are you going to do about that today? Are you going to say, I'm not going to do that no more? You know, you have to be a person that decides, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to give up. I don't care what I face today, what I face tomorrow. You know, you've got to be a person that decides that, you know, if you just quit on every project and you start something all the time, you never get it finished. Well, you know, you need to straighten some things out within yourself and make some decisions that I'm never going to give up. I don't care how it looks, what I'm going through, I will never quit. You know, I like that Brother Hager Jr., I heard his statement the other day, you know, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Well, you know, if you build a ministry with thousands and thousands of people in your church, you know, you're going to have you're going to be a person that decides I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. And you don't want to be a leader, you know, in a business or a job or a ministry that just quits. You've got to make a decision within yourself. I'll never quit. I'll always fulfill what God's called me to do. God didn't create you to quit. He's not going to quit on you, and you shouldn't quit on yourself. You need to fulfill what God's called you to do. Genesis 37:5. Let's read that real quick. Genesis 37:5. Let's look at this real quick. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him. Wow. And all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves. And he goes on to tell him about the dream there. And his brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? You know, they didn't like his dream. You know, will you actually rule us? You know, and he hated him all the more because of his dream and that he had. Then he had another dream. Isn't that good? You know, people give him challenges at first, and he decides he has another dream, right? Then he had another dream. He told it to his brothers. Listen, and he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told this to his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him. His own father rebuked him. You ever had your own family rebuke you about some big dream you had? Is that a reason to quit? Is that the reason to give up? You know, your own family even they don't see what you're seeing. Does that mean it's not God? Because they don't see it? Well, maybe they're not spending enough time with God to see what you see. Think about that today, you know. Well, you know, we don't give up. It doesn't matter if your own family member doesn't agree with you or people around you may not see what you're seeing. God will help you fulfill the dream that he has in your life if you'll see it like he sees it. He doesn't see small. He sees big dreams being fulfilled through you. So when he told his father all this, his father rebuked him, you know. Joseph was sold by his brothers. So notice though, when you say it out loud, right? Notice what Joseph did. He said it out of his mouth, said it out loud. You know, the enemy may not even know some stuff unless you say it out loud, right? You know, he may not even know some things, you know, without you saying it out loud. And when you start talking about your vision out loud, you know, you don't think he's going to try to stop your vision. You don't think he's going to try to stop it, you know? And when you start to pursue it, he sees your actions going towards it, you know? He doesn't want good things for you. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're not lifting up the enemy because Jesus said, I came to give you life and it more abundantly. He's given you everything to fulfill the dream. He told you he'd help you come through every circumstance. But, you know, you do face challenges. You start getting your dream, that's when you're going to be a person that has to be a person that overcomes challenges, right? You know, if you don't have a dream, you're probably not going to be challenged. You probably won't have things come against you. But if you have a dream, then that's when you have to be ready to have the resolve to fulfill. You know, that's when life tests your resolve to see if you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do, right? So when he said it out loud, he woke up all of his enemies, right? And you get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to work out and I'm going to go after my dream and I'm going to shoot after my goals. You can't be gullible to think that you're not going to be having to face a challenge. You know, you need to be a person that has decided within myself, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on my dream and the vision that God has given to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But when you decide you're going to do it, then you need to be a person that's ready to face the challenges. You know, Jesus even faced challenges with his vision and his dream. As soon as he started out with it in Luke 4, he was challenged right away there. I'm not going to go over all the scriptures in Luke 4. If you want to look it up in 14 through 29, he goes in there and he tells them they should be excited. He's going to tell them he's the Messiah. He wants to let them know, I'm the one you've been waiting for. You know, you would think the Jewish people be so thrilled. They're waiting for him. Been prophesied he's coming. You know, they let him know he's coming. And then you would think they're just going to be so excited. They can't wait to see Jesus. He's on the earth, God incarnate in flesh, 100% man, 100% God. He said, well, Jeremiah, explain that. How is he 100% man, 100% God? I don't know how to tell you. I can explain that, but he's 100% man, and he's 100% God, right? And he comes, and you would think they'd be thrilled. God's manifested on earth, and he comes to tell them he's the Messiah. Matter of fact, the Bible says he rolled out the scroll, points out where it's at in there. This is where it is. You would think they'd be thrilled. They'd be like, oh, man, we're so glad you're here. Oh, wow, you're going to do some great exploits. Now we're going to see some stuff, you know. You would think they'd be thrilled about that, you know. And then it's believed that he sat down in the Messiah's chair after he read this to him in Luke 4 there, you know. He says to him, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news. He's come with nothing but good news. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Man, he's giving them great information, good news. He's going to do some great stuff for them. Think about this now. And he's automatically, as soon as he sits down in the Messiah's chair, you can imagine this, you know, he's like, hey, I'm here. Sits down the Messiah's chair. Look, I'm the guy you've been waiting for. You know, you'd think they'd be thrilled and just can't wait, hanging on every word. But let's look what happened here. You go on down to the 28th verse. And after he tells them all this, it says in the 28th verse, it says, all the people in the synagogue were furious. Why would they be furious? When they heard this, they got up, drove him out of the town, took him by the brow of his heel, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. You know, they heard what he was going to do, what his dream was, his vision was, took him up to a cliff, and they wanted to push him off a cliff. Now, it wasn't the people. The enemy likes to use people. We like to get mad at people. It's not the people. It's the enemy that likes to use people to stop you from fulfilling what God has you do. You know, Jesus looked at the crowd there at the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew it wasn't them. It's the enemy working through people. And you have to remember that, you know, when you're facing challenges and the things that you're going through, it's not the people. It's the enemy likes to work through people to get you to cave in, to quit. Thank goodness Jesus didn't quit. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit? He went through the challenges, went through the things he went through, went to the cross, put the devil's lights out. Think about that today. He didn't quit. Why are we so easy to quit and easy to give up if we're not careful? Jesus set the, he paid the ultimate price for us. He paid the ultimate price for everyone. And he showed us how to fulfill your dream and your vision with God's grace and his spirit to help you to fulfill that vision. And not to give up on yourself or give up on your circumstances or give up when people tell you to give up. We have to be people that stretch out and go for our dreams, you know, people that reach out and go after our dreams, you know, and so you have to be a person that reaches out and do that. Praise the Lord. Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your spirit today. Father, we just thank you for leading us and guiding us today, Father. There's some people, I believe, that the enemy's just, he's went after them and tried to get them to give up on that hope that you put within them and that dream that you put within them. Father, help them to be, have a renewed sense of strength today. Help your joy to fill them up today, your peace to fill them up today, right now with your presence, Father, we ask. Holy Spirit, come right there in their car, right there where they're at today, Father. Right there on their couch, right there where they're at today, Father. Out there walking with us on their headphones, Father, we ask that your joy be restored to them, your peace be restored to them. And number one, their vision to be restored to them, seeing beyond their circumstances. Fill them up with your presence and help them to see beyond your circumstances and see how you see it, Father, and how you see them accomplishing big things and give them the ability to do it. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' holy name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. And we're living in a day and age just shooting towards him coming back. And you need to get on track with him today. You need to get saved and fulfill the purpose and plan he has for your life. You're not just taking up space. You're here to for a reason. So if you'd like to, you can pray this prayer with me today. I never like to end a message without giving a chance for someone to get saved if they need to get saved, and you know, because they we will make sure everybody gets in on this deal. So if you'd like to get saved, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says, if I confess Jesus as Lord and believe God's risen Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So you want to be saved right now? Pray this prayer with me right now. Father, I just believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. Jesus, come be Lord of my life. I'm not playing business with you, playing games with you, but be Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. There's some of you that you should have prayed that prayer with me just now. And you need to make sure that you do pray that prayer. If you have to go back and re-listen to this, you need to make sure you pray this prayer. You know, the Bible says you must be saved, right? He told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a person that was, he was a person in the temple, right? Doing the work for the Lord. But the Bible said, Jesus told him, you must be saved, must be born again. And so you might want to pray that prayer there. Make sure that you get that, you receive Jesus as Lord. Well, let's pray it again. We'll go give you another chance. Father, I just believe that you're the risen Jesus from the dead, and I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that, you are saved. Write down the time and the date so you don't forget it, but you, a new work has been done in you, and you are saved. Praise the Lord. I've never done that before, never prayed it twice like that before, but there was somebody, I believe, that God wanted to know how, and that he's not playing with them anymore, and he wants them to be saved right now. He wants to do some good things in your life. He's not trying to scare you. He's not trying to put fear in your life, but he wants to do some good things in your life, and you need to accept him as Lord of your life. Praise the Lord. And that's the best decision you ever made today. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm so glad I got to spend time with you. I'm going to check the notes here and check the comments, and we'll check the live stream there by video as well and see what comments we have. We love you. God bless you. And we look forward to hearing from you, of course, on Sunday. God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.
If you'd like to contact us for prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.